Apps for Africa is a contest to challenge East African technologists to build mobile and web-based tools to meet the challenges facing the region. The idea that people from communities in the developing world can best address and solve their own problems. And it came out of a conversation that's been ongoing for the last few years amongst, I would call, civic technologists in East Africa. These are developers, coders who have very strong ties, civic ties to the region, who are from the region and are working to improve the region. And they've been creating what you could call innovation hubs, where coders who have some background can join and create new tools that are useful for economic and social growth. And the State Department recognized that this was a fantastic phenomenon and decided to support this endeavor with a little bit of fame and fortune, specifically having a contest that would challenge these folks to build things and then sort of advertise, spread the word that this sort of innovation is happening.
What data sets did you use?
So I would separate two concepts, open data and Gov 2.0. I would say that open data, obviously, as you mentioned, is around creating access to information around things that governments have opened up. Gov 2.0 is a broader movement that you see very strongly here in the U.S. that citizens to leverage technology to improve and deliver social services. We were interested in both. But since the open data movement is, as you could probably guess, not far off the ground in the region, there are a few data sets coming out of the government of Kenya in particular. But we kept this as a broader endeavor of, you know, being platform agnostic, meaning we didn't, you know, care if we were developing for an iPhone or for
Android or
Nokia phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we recognized that the value was not necessarily in having a flashy application, but in having a tool that could be utilized. So, obviously, as you can imagine, the results tended towards more basic phones and web-based tools that are more in distribution in the region. And it should mention that Apps for Africa was a regional contest. So we encourage folks from Rwanda, Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya to take part.
What kind of apps did people come up with?
So there was a pretty remarkable sort of outcropping of applications that came from this contest.
Cover a wide range of things.
I mean, very wide range of things, and we were very, very happy about that. So the winning application is a tool, a mobile-based tool called iCow, which allows farmers, people interested in raising cattle, to time the cattle gestation period and feeding periods correctly to the standards that are out there. And it was built by a couple of Kenyan entrepreneurs. Another one that I like is, getting back to your interest in open data, is a tool that would visualize constituency development funds in a particular slum community in Nairobi called Kibera. So this is actually an opportunity to take the data that was out there on money that was going to the local, the constituency level that should be going for social services and whatnot, and visualize that on a map that was created by the community online. So you see that different ways that, you know, these mobile tools can be used for both information services as well as for visualizing data.
And, you know, having never traveled to Africa, unfortunately, how prevalent are these phones? How useful do these apps end up being?
So mobile telephony in most of Africa now is approaching ubiquity. If folks don't own mobile phones, they most often have access to them. And we're talking very basic phones in most areas. So there is a keen hunger for information and access to information. In fact, I saw one study that said that people in sub-Saharan Africa spend on average 50% of their disposable income
on
communications technology, because you can imagine how valuable it is to have a phone if you are trying to get market prices of a place that's 4 hours away by a not so sturdy road. If you can get it by a mobile, that's obviously a huge advantage. But the other thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, like everywhere in the world, there's early adapters and there's later adapters. And one thing that I thought the Apps for Africa contest did nicely was bring together the coders, the developers who are often in the capital, very excited about the newest technology, iPad, iPhone, these types of things, and folks who are out in communities, you know, rural, poorer communities, who are saying, geez, just give me something for my basic phone that I can use to collect health service data. And those two communities, believe it or not, hadn't been in conversation very often. And so I think that it was a useful mechanism to get that dialogue going about what's useful in that community.
Almost like it skipped a generation. They don't need to have any need for desktops or things like that. They've gone straight to the mobile devices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you see increasingly the exciting thing now is to look at what access to data is going to mean in some of these communities. So increasingly the people I worked with in poor communities getting access to Facebook via their mobile and what it's going to mean when you can do more interesting browser-based things on cheaper mobile devices.
And the State Department offering its visibility for this program, how does that help you?
Well, I think it just amplifies the conversation that's already been happening, right? So this has been a fantastic conversation among, as I said, civic technologists. But the State Department coming in obviously takes it to a larger level. We were fortunate to have the Undersecretary of State and the Ambassador to Kenya from the U.S. join us for the launch in Nairobi. And, you know, getting the word out to the broader Kenyan community as well as the government that these technologies can actually lead to increased social and economic growth.
And lessons learned that you take from this, having done one of these things, what did you do really well, and what would you like to do over again if you could do it over again?
So I would say that the biggest, I think what led to Apps for Africa being a successful program is that we built on what was already happening in the community. We found exciting, enigmatic folks on the ground, and we supported their work. You know, and that's an interesting model of public diplomacy if you look at the history of what the U.S. government has done in terms of information sharing and getting their name out. So there was a lot of appreciation amongst these folks and saying, oh, wow, this is something that the U.S. government is interested in supporting. And I think that really generated a lot of goodwill. I would, you know, going forward, I would just make, you know, try and make sure that we spent more time in more communities, because obviously with limited resources, we would travel around to different capitals in the region and put on events advertising what this was about and sharing ideas amongst developers and grassroots NGO folks. And I would love to have done more of that and engage more of those communities, because, you know, the advantages, the social and economic advantages of mobile technology can be pretty impactful, but they're not something that are very useful out of the box a lot of the times. It really takes working closely between these two groups that really delivers results.
Remarkable stuff. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
That sounds good to me. I do want to flag that. So one interesting thing is that from this and other initiatives that the broader, I suspect you followed the broader Gov 2.0 movement that's happening, you know, in the U.S. and
a little bit
and whatnot. And one exciting thing that's coming down the pipeline in the next, you know, few weeks to few months is a bringing folks from around the developing world to take part in this sort of Gov 2.0 conversation, and, you know, saying what lessons have we learned in the U.S. around the tools that we're building. And in particular, since developing world is often such a different context than here in the U.S., what do folks in Indonesia have to share with folks in Kenya? That sort of South-South conversation hasn't always taken place. So, you know, I would love to see the State Department doing stuff, you know, these types of competitions throughout throughout Africa, but also in the broader world, and playing, you know, a part in this.